you can be sad about some things, but you should fast adapt to the new situation. And because being just sad is not helpful, but of course you can, you should have emotion and express your emotion, not to just to keep them locked in yourself. But after that, you can say, okay, I can do it. Let's go.
Hey, y'all. I'm Brian Pagan. Welcome to episode 8 of Mindfolk, Human Creativity and Mindful Innovation in a Podcast. In this episode, I'm speaking with Goran Mrvosh, a nature lover, tech guru, and warm-hearted friend of mine. In 2002, he founded Infosit, a software development agency in the UK and Croatia. In this conversation, Goran and I talk about the healing power of nature, why empathy is crucial for software development, how he fosters a healthy company culture, and what civilization could look like if we turned it on its head. We begin with Goran outlining his company's strategies for remote working. Enjoy.
1/4 or 1/3 of people are in office someday. But formally, we have two shifts. Every 2 weeks, the shift changes. So people from other shift can arrive to the office next. But also from this part of the shift, there is a lot of people that do not need to go to the office and choose to stay at home and work from home. And for us, this is okay because we saw the opportunities for this, why this is good, even in this health situation worldwide. And on another side, we are realizing that it's not okay for keeping the culture, company culture, because people for different teams are not communicated informally, you know, in the kitchen near the coffee and outside. So now I'm learning about how to manage these kind of things, fulfill this gap of informal gathering of people when they are in the office. And there is some theories, some practical things that people are doing around the world. And I think we will also try some of them.
Would you give me an example?
So one of the changes that we are just starting to do is to formally tell the people to form informal teams. So, because in situation when people want to go out to do air or just to light some cigarette or drink the coffee, this is something that they do not plan. And in that moment, they found someone from different team in the kitchen or outside the building or somewhere, and then they start to talk. And the information start to be exchanged between them. Even this information can be private things, general things around the world. They influence to the culture and to the acknowledgement between those two people or three of them, how many there are there. Even the trust, because the trust between people also is built in these informal talks. And we try to motivate people to organize these informal teams. So we will see how we will be successful in that or not. And then we will learn. And of course, every new day is an opportunity to be better.
Oh, I love this experimental mindset. It feels very agile, very lean startup, like learn, build, measure.
Yeah, I think this is the crucial thing in today's world, every fast changing world, when we should adapt fast to all things like this health crisis that we have. You can be sad about some things, but you should fast adapt to the new situation. And because being just sad is not helpful, but of course you can, you should have emotion and express your emotion, not to just to keep them locked in yourself. But after that, you can say, okay, I can do it. Let's go. Let's be different.
Yes, yes, yes. We need to feel our emotions without letting them paralyze us.
Yeah.
It sounds to me a bit like a healthy combination of emotion and intellect, mm-hmm. which kind of reminds me of conversations you and I have had about designers and developers working together.
But I think that if you look at the designers and developers, there is also different kinds of people in those two groups.
Yeah.
And most of them, like I said, all of them are very, very smart people. Then we came to the emotional intelligence as something that can help those groups to be more connected, to understand each other and make better solutions. Because if we do not feel the real need of the project, for example, if we just heard the wish of the investor or stakeholder, but we do not deeply understand it and see it, maybe we can miss all things. Even if we designers create great visual things, maybe developers will lock the architecture in some way that will not be helpful to adaptivity on the side where the project will go into the future. So I think that this deep understanding, even if I can say the designers and developers should help the investors to tell them how they feel, the which are the real goals of the project and what things are around that. And even to have courage to say, I understand what you want, but this is not good way if you want to reach this. And we think that we should go in that way. And this frankliness between them is the fundament for the long-term relationship and a successful project.
I agree completely. Emotional intelligence, as you point out, really helps people reach that deeper understanding. Do you have an example of this in your work?
Yes. We have a lot of these examples. One of them is from yesterday's call, for example. I get the call from the client that we work in 2006, so more than 10 years ago. This is some custom development project, and we help them to solve the problem. But working on that project, the main goal was, okay, we want to have billing on the IP phone system divided to each person, so we know the exact expense of each person in company who spends how much money on the phone calls. And, you know, this is kind of controlling mm-hmm. application. And when you take a look at that, you say, okay, it's not so, let's say, sexy. Yeah, it's much like the stick, not the carrot, you know. And we like to motivate people on the carrot way, not the stick way. And we say, but how we will engage people to use this applications, to keep this application updated? How we motivate people to in real life use this solution? And then we realize that if we want to reach the goal that they have, we should have company organizational structure. We should have all people names and telephone numbers. And at the end, we will finally have a fully, let's say, updated company phone book. Because in many companies, the phone books became obsolete the day after. Because when someone put some new things, HR put new people, new phone, after a few days, people change the departments and change the phone numbers maybe. And then we realize, okay, but what is the reason why the people will update this information? Oh, okay, the department, we get the bill for the old people in the department. If the names are not exact, they will update information. So they will be motivated to update this information. But what we get in this product is, let's say, news product of the application, but the one that is used for all people around the company. And this is central Google-like search phone book. And not just phone book, because it came to be contacts for whole company, because they have not just phone number, but also email number, and the department name, and even they start to use tags. For example, in enterprise, I need the IT guy to help me something, and they get contacts of IT guys who they can reach. So they can get some kind of search engine for contacts in the company. And why I'm happy for this project, because yesterday, so many years after that, I get a call from this company, and they asked me to help in some other things. I asked them, okay, how is this application? Oh, great, it works all these years. It fulfilled the function, people are using it, it gets the formal things, but it's also kind of directory that all people, when they arrive to the company, start to use at the first place to research who is who in the company and everything. So this is a way, I think, how we can help the customers to create the better solution for the same subset of information and give the motivation for the users to use applications and get the carrots, not just the stick, and to be real users of this solution.
Oh, what a great story. I love that it starts with your team's empathy for your clients' employees, which gave y'all insights into their needs as humans. And because you focus the product on those needs, it opened the door for serendipity and it allows people to use it in their own way.
Yes, in many cases, we realize that people use our solution even the better way that we imagine that they will use it. You know, they have manual how to use it, but they have quicker way to do the same things. So great.
Cow paths. I imagine that it's no accident that InfoSit people have enough emotional intelligence and empathy to work this way. You spoke earlier about how you prompt your people to intentionally create informal interactions with each other, but I've also seen some amazing photos of your team building events. Would you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, the latest team building was right after the lockdown in spring. So we saw the window opportunity after the first wave to gather all people in one place and to just talk about how it was during this lockdown. Of course, we have technology to discuss the things online about tasks, topics, and projects, but people are community beings. So without community, without team, and without interactions with other people that you have the same topics, but not the business topics, like we have few people who are running marathons, so they are not the same team, but how they will exchange information, how was your training, for example, during this lockdown. We get this opportunity to people and to ourselves as the company to understand how things are going, if somebody needs some kind of help that company can provide, how they're seeing the future, what we as a company think about future, because it's also important that people get this psychological safety regarding what are the plans of the company in this crisis and how the company deals with this crisis. And during the crisis, we have every Friday info meeting about what is the situation, how things are going, how we are struggling with it, what we are doing, and people have opportunity to say how it was on their side, what problem they have. So we intense this online communication on each week. Now we have just every second week because we think situation is more normal as we adapt to the new way of living.
Was it in person?
Yes, team building was in person, and we often have some kind of mixture. We all like to eat organic food and these kind of things, and we are preparing together one big bowl of the, we call it shugo. So is goulash maneshtra. This is the name of the food. So you put all vegetables that you have in one big bowl and you cook it, I don't know, 3 hours maybe. And then you can discuss around the fire and share experiences and learn from each other and get again connected after these 3 months of not being in physical touch. So I think the team building is very important for the people, and of course this have impact to the company. If team building is not something that people from company need or want, or is organized without getting the feedback from the people what they expect from these kind of events, then this could be just one event, nothing more. But I think it's important that after each team building, people feel that they get something for themselves, some security, some new foundings, some more trust in some people in the company, in the team, and even the trust to the company, of course.
My goodness, that sounds fantastic.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And this is something that we all like. This is something that connects all us in company. We like being outside, outdoor, and enjoy the nature. So yeah, this is the point that connects all of us.
Besides those team building events, what rituals or habits do y'all use to foster your company's culture?
So we talk with people on different ways, different levels. Just before the COVID crisis, during the winter, and we start to have kind of, we call it EMC. So every minute counts. So not on the counting side, but on the as opportunity that each mentor and mentee have the dedicated time in 2 weeks period to discuss about what was in the period before and what they are expecting in the next period. And that in those meetings also people have opportunity to say their expectations, their wishes, and everything that they want to ask the mentor. And of course, we also have opportunity, every employee company have opportunity to reach me as the director directly, so to skip the manager or mentor if they want. So if they want to say to me something directly, this is also used as the method of improving the people who are managing other people's, at the way that we can see better some other views on the organization. It's very helpful. This is why we all also understand that we should more motivate giving the feedback and accepting the feedback. And now even this remote work, we start to use one app that allow us to do this remotely. So we can anonymously give the feedback or get the feedback from colleagues around us and help to ourselves and to others to be better people.
Cool. Is it online? Where can I find it?
APPRAIS.ly, Appraisly.
Nice. How did you decide to build Appraisly?
It's interesting. This is kind of startup project in one company, and we found that it could be helpful for us. Now we are in this period of accommodating ourselves to use it the way that we want to.
I guess that's the perks of running a software development agency. If you need something, you can just build it. I imagine carpenters do the same, just with wood. You and your company do team building events in the woods. What about you personally? Do you have any rituals that you use to connect with nature?
Every day I get to walk, even during the coast or in the forest. It's 1 hour rule for me. So be 1 hour outside between trees or between sea and the trees somewhere in the nature.
Wow, great rule. Have you been doing it for long?
Yes, before COVID also. But I can say that after COVID, I do this more regularly and more mindfully, because this is the time for myself, and I use it to have digital detox, so without mobile phone and without connecting. You know, my job is always being connected, and this is 1 hour of being disconnected, be connected with myself. So I think this is also 1 hour of big importance for me.
Oh, yes. Digital detox. Somehow imagining you walking around in nature like this reminds me of the neighborhood bartering program you told me about once. Would you say something about that?
Yes. There is a movement that was initiated by some of the intentions that European Union has as the goals, is to organize more local resources and to consume local food and to avoid a lot of logistic transports around the globe. So this is many years ago, even before this crisis, which show us even better how is this important. And those movements exist in many countries and also in Croatia. And it came up that people are producing the food. The consumers are also the the producers of something. So you don't, you sometimes you can exchange your service or your product with product of some others. It's kind of unmonetized transaction, you know. And for example, I helped one woman regarding their problems with the mobile phone, and she gave me some potatoes from their garden. So we have this kind of things. Of course, it's not my job to do this kind of things. This is in my private time, but this is the product and service that I have. I do not have big garden, so I cannot exchange other things. So, but people are exchanging products, services, and even this community sometimes finance the producers with money for the seed or for watering the complex, and because it's let's say without interest credit, and then the producers are paying delivering their goods to the community. So this is great way. I was thinking about this kind of local monet that can exist. This is kind of favor. So it needs more resources and organization that I can deliver, but I think this is going in that way. I know that is a really primitive way of work because it was the way how we worked 100 years ago, but maybe it can help us also to appreciate more people around us and help people around us not be just the neighbor with I don't know name or just the neighbor who has this car and knowing nothing more about it.
Ah, incredible. It's like a self-contained circular economy. Like, not only do people exchange value in like goods and services, but there's also a synergistic human value exchange there as well. Just like you mentioned, people getting to know more about each other and interacting with each other.
I think that we lost the villages as organization units. So anthropology said that 150 people is something that we can manage socially and on day-to-day basis. And in the past times, we start to have mega cities and people from villages start to go away. And now, even if we have villages, they're not so self-sustained villages. So there is a group of people with which I'm discussing about how we as the new technology generation can revive this village organization type of 150 people to be sustainable using new technologies and helping people to be healthier and more connected, more organized.
Yeah, that kind of reminds me of the Game B movement. They also talk about a civilization built out of village units of around 150 people. I'm intrigued about yours, though. Where can I learn more?
When we create the first manifest, I will share this with you.
Thanks. I look forward to it. Before we wrap up, I'd like to ask you something I've wondered about for years now. How did you start InfoSit?
So my first job was working for automotive industry. And then I realized that working in automotive industry as IT professional it's not something that is have prosperity because it's just support a role in the whole industry. And then I said, let's try to work directly in IT company. And then I became employee in this is something that I might say 1998. I start to work in a startup that creates internet pages for hospitality industry. Yeah, this is then we worked and then we create one great portal which is even exist today, but it's sold in 2002. And in 2002, I organized my company with a partner, and we start to work with a vision that we should create web-based solution for companies. If you rewind in the past, you will understand at that moment the desktop application was always on all PCs. So this concept of web application in 2002 was totally different. And but we managed to make the point and show the companies that it's better to use web concepts even on enterprise internal application and of course on internet then to stick with this old-fashioned desktop way of developing. And but as you see, today we are in something different, new technologies. One thing that I learned from the beginning of my path is that you should always learn and see around you, take the vision in the future, think about what you can do to change yourself to adopt to this future better and faster. And I like to say that in InfoSeed, we want to accept people that are young in their souls, which means that they want to learn and they are really... they're like children that want to play with something new, and this is for me is important because doesn't matter how many years you have, you can be young in your soul whenever. And one of my friends and consultant, the guy who is from US and lives here in the retirement, he's young in his soul. And younger than many young people that unfortunately I see on the street. So being young in your soul is not a matter of the years, how many years you have, but how your mindset is set up.
Wow, I'm speechless. Thank you so much, Goran.
Okay, thank you, Brad.
Here's to staying young and playful at heart. Goran, thank you again for your wisdom and stories. But what about you, dear listener? How do you stay young at heart? Leave me a voice message through our website, mindfolkpod.com, or get in touch on Twitter and Instagram via @mindfolkpod. Special thanks to Zubin Nayak for the transcription. Keep choosing love, dear one.